want us to look tonight at the subject of angels. What does the Bible say about angels? It's one of those things I think people sort of have a passing idea of what an angel is. You've probably seen it, read it in a book, you probably saw it in a movie, and something like that. And you really don't know what they do, you don't know where they are, and you don't know where they came from, and really anything about them. You probably also don't think of them in your daily lives. You don't think of them on a daily basis and how it fits into your faith and how it fits into really anything involving your life as a Christian. But angels are all throughout the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament. And so if we are going to be good Bible students, we need to learn a few things about them. And tonight we're not going to learn everything about angels. Don't think you're going to leave here tonight with complete understanding and a complete study of this topic. You're not. That's not what we're trying to do tonight. What we're going to do is look at some of the basic fundamental characteristics of angels and who they are. And I think when you do leave tonight, you'll say, I have a better grasp of them. They're not some mysterious beings. I kind of have an idea of how it fits into my life as a Christian, because we tend to think of angels like this, typically female with wings and just sort of float around and say good things and just have this wonderful existence. And that's why since we have images like this of an angel, we call each other angels. We say, you're an angel. And there's songs that use that because we think of angels as such angelic beings, of course. We see them as heavenly. We see them as glowing. We see them as full of goodness. And that's a good thing. That is much the way the Bible presents them and the work that they do. We also think of angels like this. We think of guardian angels. And we'll talk about guardian angels at the end of the lesson. But we think of them like this. If they're not just sort of floating around in the spiritual world, in the world that we can't see, that they are actually involved in our daily lives, and everybody has an angel, everybody has somebody, whatever that may look like, that's looking over them, that is caring for that person, caring for that Christian, is protecting them from harm, is looking out for them, and we're all assigned an angel by God. Some people think of angels that way, and this picture is kind of an image of that. It's an angel looking over a child and being concerned about the life of an innocent child that way. I think that's probably where most people think of angels. One of those two ways. Just as something floating around in the spiritual world, glowing with light, full of goodness, or very active, but yet can't see them, don't really know what they're doing on a daily basis, but feeling a sense of protection from an angel. But then we have to go on further to say, well, okay, what is an angel? Let's start getting into what the Bible says. Well, an angel comes from the Greek word angelos, which means a messenger, generally a supernatural messenger from God, conveying news from God to men. And that is the way the angels are presented in Scripture. And we'll talk more about how they work for us. But generally, and you know that, as you read the Bible, you see the Bible says an angel came and delivered a message, like to Mary and Joseph before Jesus was born. Angels that came to Abraham. We see angels in the book of Revelation. You see angels that are, again, conveying a message, because that's the real word there is really just a messenger. And because not all messengers in the Bible, even some that were given the word angel, translated angel, weren't heavenly beings. Some were real people. But they were called angels simply because they were giving a message from God. And John the Baptist really does give us the best example of that type of angel, so to speak. He didn't have wings. He didn't float around in the spiritual world. But he was described as somebody who was bringing a message from God, preparing the way of Christ. And we can look at a lot of passages where the word on the page says angel, but as you read the context of the passage, it's more just a man giving a message from God. And in that simplest form. Heavenly angels, the ones that we see that aren't human beings, are mentioned 150 times in the New Testament. Again, they're all over the pages of Scripture. We have to know something about them. We can't just skip over the word or the person and say, well, I don't understand that, so let's just keep reading. Again, they're in both Testaments, but so often in the New Testament. Sometimes heavenly beings giving a message, sometimes physical, real human beings that are simply saying this is the message from God. What is or what was their purpose? Well, to fulfill God's will and serve Him. You can say that of any heavenly being. You could even say that's what we are supposed to do. We talked about that this morning. Our purpose on earth is to fear God and keep His commandments. We are to serve Him. We are to fulfill His will. So angels were acting with the same sort of purpose. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, and really the first two chapters of Hebrews talk a lot about angels and giving us definitions of angels. If you ever want to read a lot, study more about angels, read the first two chapters of Hebrews. And Hebrews 1:14 is probably the clearest definition of what an angel does, even though it's a bit vague. That isn't very helpful, is it? It's a good definition, but it's still a bit vague. Are not, and he was referring to angels, he mentioned them in the previous verse, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? It's a rhetorical question. He assumes you know the answer is yes. So it says that angels are ministering spirits. Who are they sent out to serve? Who are they sent out to help? Who are they sent out to serve God in or serve God for? Well, it's us. We are going to inherit salvation. A Christian is somebody who's going to inherit salvation. We are going to receive our inheritance from our Father when we go to heaven. We are the saved people of this earth, the church. So angels, in this verse, we're told that they serve us. They minister on our behalf. Now, it still doesn't say what exactly they are doing. In that regard, no specifics there. It simply just says they are working for us, that their role is to serve us and help us in some way. And there's really no biblical evidence that angels have ceased their work. We know that there are some things in the New Testament, read some things in the Bible, that have stopped happening. It doesn't seem like in any suggestion, either by interpretation, by book, chapter, verse, that angels don't exist anymore, or they've just gone away, or they stopped working, they retired at some point. It seems like they are still doing what they do because Hebrews 1:14 tells us that. In the New Testament, the New Testament era, the Christian age, that this is still what they are doing. So we can't say, well, angels just aren't around anymore, read about them in the Bible, but they went away. It doesn't seem to teach that at all. Seem to like they're still doing what they do. What is their origin? Where do they come from? Psalm 148, verses 2 and 5 says, praise Him, all the angels, let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Now, that, you would probably assume that from reading the first chapter of Genesis. You would assume that there was nothing and God made the world and all things in it. Paul said the same thing in Athens when he preached in Acts 17. God who made the world and all things in it. So we can assume, well, angels came about just like everybody else came about, and Psalms does affirm that. That they also praised God, and then He commanded, He spoke, and they were created. But they are neither divine nor human, and their true essence is really never explained in the Scriptures. Again, we don't get a physical definition of an angel, a spiritual heavenly angel. We don't get that description. It's like we don't have a physical description of Jesus. You know, Jesus, real man, and walked and lived, and the prophecy about Him in Isaiah 53 just says that He looked like everybody else. There was nothing unique about His features that anybody would look at Jesus and say, wow, He's such a handsome person. There's nothing distinctive about his looks, but we don't have a definition. We don't have a artist rendering of Jesus. All the things that we think about with Jesus and what he looked like were from Renaissance painters who painted Jesus to look like them. White guys with beards. But Jesus was from the Middle East and likely did not look like Michelangelo and some of those people who started painting an image of Jesus. But we know Hebrew, again, back to Hebrews chapters 1 and 2, we get a lot of information about angels. And chapter 2, verse 7 says that we, man, is lower than the angels. We know they're not divine because at no point in Scripture does it say that they are equal with God, that they're equal with Christ, or equal with the Holy Spirit. They're not perfect, and we're going to look at that in a minute. So, they're lower than God, but they are higher than us in the order of things. They're created. They're not us, but they're not God either. And so we start to understand a little bit about them. Do angels have a will? Yes, they do. Again, the Bible is very plain about the fact that angels have a will. They make decisions for themselves. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. Very clearly, angels have a will. Angels had decided to sin. At some point, they had a law to obey, that God had given them what they were supposed to do, and they chose to do otherwise. And Peter said that angels had done that, they had sinned, and so God had already condemned them, and they are reserved for judgment, just like a human is reserved for judgment till judgment day. So they have a will. Again, we have information, but we don't have specifics. What did they do to sin? What was it? What command did they disobey? Who were these angels that did this and were condemned by God and now are reserved for judgment? We don't have all of that information. But it's clear that at some point, we don't know what point in history, maybe all the way back in the beginning, that some chose to serve Satan. How do we know that? Because Jesus said so. Jesus was talking about Judgment Day in Matthew chapter 25. And he talked about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And he said those who were going to be cast away, the goats on his left, would be sent to hell. He said, because it's a place reserved for the devil and his angels. We know angels were created by God. But at some point, in their own free will, some said, I'm going to serve Satan. Does that sound familiar? In the beginning, God created man. And God said, this is the law that you're going to have. And the law that Adam had was pretty simple. Do whatever you want, just don't eat from that tree. That was his law to live under. Evidently, the angels had a law to live under. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go serve Satan. And so now hell was a place prepared for them. Jesus said, prepared for the devil and his angels, and those who are lost will spend eternity with them. And you say, well, that doesn't sound like a just God. That doesn't sound like a loving God. Well, he is a loving God. He's also a just God, because if somebody lives for Satan on this earth, it only follows they're going to live with him forever. That sounds just to me. That sounds, I hate to use the word because it loses meaning, but it sounds fair. That sounds reasonable. That if somebody decides to live for Satan here, that they would live for him forever. So Jesus said, a judgment, a separation will take place, and those on his left will go to live with him and his angels forever. So angels have a will. What law were they living under? What sin did they commit? We don't know, but they did. The Bible tells us so. But then, we put all this together, what we've talked about so far, just to sort of catch our minds up at where we are. Angels were created by God. They weren't always present, again, not equal with God. God's always existed. They haven't. They were created. They have a nature lower than God, but higher than humans. They serve God's purposes in biblical times, and we, again, could look at all of those ways in which angels were used to deliver messages from God, always used for His purposes. They have free will. They have decisions to make and under the law that whatever God gave them to live under. And we know Hebrews 1:14 tells us that they serve Christians today. Now that didn't take us very long to get a lot of information about angels. And that's not all in the Bible by any means. But we can handle that. That gives us something to hold on to about where they came from and a little bit about what they're doing. But we still have to deal with, what about guardian angels? This is probably the most prevalent idea when it comes to angels. When somebody will say, you know, an angel saved them. An angel came along and protected that person from dying in the accident, and so on and so forth. This idea of guardian angels comes from something Jesus said in Matthew 18. This seems to be the verse that most people point to where they've come, found this idea of guardian angels. And Jesus said, referring to children in the previous verses, He says, "See that no one despises one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of My Father who is in heaven." And so people take in that verse to say their angels, so it sounds like everybody's got one, they're in heaven seeing the face of God, so there's a protection going on. There's a representative on behalf of, in this case, children, with God, representing them in their earthly affairs. But if you pay attention to the verse, that really adds a lot to this verse. Jesus didn't say anything about protection here. It didn't say anything about overlooking somebody and swooping down on the earth and moving them out of the way of harm, or even specifically protecting children. Just simply says that in heaven, that there are angels that see the face of God, that there are those angels that know these children, and that God knows them. Knows their angels, they see the face of God, they know the angels, and they know those children. Jesus was simply telling His disciples, teaching them about how valuable, how precious children are. He said, these children that you disregard, that you throw away, that, you know what? Angels in heaven who see the face of God know these children. Doesn't that make them special? Doesn't that make them valuable? Don't disregard a child. Don't push them away from me when they run up and want to sit in my lap or listen to me preach and all those types of things. Don't despise, as He says here, the little ones. They have heavenly representation in the sense of heavenly beings know who they are. So how can you dismiss someone so valuable? But we shouldn't take that verse and start adding things to the work of angels simply because Jesus said they're angels that know who they are. And those angels are with God. They have that connection. The study of angels teaches me a lot. Teaches me several things. First of all, it's good to know that spiritual beings are working for me. They're ministering spirits sent out to render service to those who will inherit salvation. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but I know they're doing it. I'm very thankful for it. I have to believe that at some point in my life, an angel has blessed my life. I can't tell you how, I can't tell you when, I don't, and I don't need to lose a lot of sleep over that, trying to figure out when it was and what they did. And I'm going to let God handle those things. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to have faith in God that God is going to work all things together for good to those who love God, for those who call according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. And as he does that, he'll use everything at his disposal to make that happen. The Bible says he'll use angels to make that happen. My little brain can't exactly put all that together and match the mind of God to know exactly when all those things take place and how they work together. He just says, God is doing that. So I'm going to let God do that. I'm not going to try to doubt him, second guess him, try to define exactly everything that God does. We can take that so far that it becomes a bit blasphemous. To say, I know exactly everything that God does and the way God thinks. What did Isaiah say? For his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. It's a foolish endeavor to say, I know exactly the mind of God. I'm just thankful that angels do what they do. They're doing it for me. Messengers from God come in all shapes and sizes. Hebrews chapter 13 is another verse that people often refer to regarding angels, where the Hebrew writer says, don't forget to practice hospitality. And he said, because some, by doing that, have entertained angels unaware. Obviously, referenced Abraham in the Old Testament when he didn't know he was talking to some angels. And some people have taken that to say, hey, I need to be hospitable to all strangers because one might walk in my door and I'm going to serve them and I'm going to turn around for a second and turn back around and they're going to be gone. You're just going to go up in the air like an angel. Again, like something you see in a movie or in a book. So we don't know who we're talking to. I might be talking to an angel because Hebrews 13:2 said I might be entertaining angels and not know it. That verse again doesn't say that you're going to entertain that type of angel, somebody, an angel that embodies a real human being, and you help them, and then they just disappear off the earth. All it simply says is, once upon a time, somebody, in another day and time, was hospitable, and an angel, he was talking to an angel. It doesn't mean it's going to happen to you. It just means that you're going to, you need to be hospitable to everybody because you don't know who you're dealing with. You don't know what a stranger has. You don't know how that person's going to bless your life. You don't know the good things that can come from you being hospitable. Always be hospitable. Don't try to define the person as soon as you meet them. Don't underestimate what they can do for you. But having said that, again, the word itself just simply means messenger. So we're not talking about heavenly beings. When we talk about messengers, we talk about people just delivering a message from God. They come in all shapes and sizes. And everybody in their life, as they live their life and the way they present themselves, should be a messenger from God. Should be telling the story of Jesus. Should be sharing the gospel with people. We need to be aware of that. We know we need to look for that, notice that in people as they share the name of Christ. And I also know the study of angels, something we haven't discussed yet, it's the last thing we want to talk about tonight, is that leaving this life is going to be a peaceful situation. Luke chapter 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. If you think that's a parable, that's fine. If you think that's a real story, that's a real event that happened, that's okay too. And a lot of people have different takes on that passage. Some are very passionate that it's a parable. It's not a true event. Some say it's a true event. It's an actual thing that Jesus said that happened. It doesn't matter. It's still true either way. But in that story about the rich man and Lazarus, it says that Lazarus the beggar, not the one raised from the dead, Lazarus the beggar was, of course, receiving the scraps from the rich man's table. They both died. It says that the angels carried away the soul of Lazarus the beggar. And that's why you've heard probably at a funeral somebody talking about the day the angels carried away so-and-so. Use that phrase to describe euphemism for them dying, that the angels carried them away. That's biblical. We didn't see it happen. We didn't see angels take the soul away. But it's somewhere. We didn't see that. But again, the Bible says that that's something they did. That's something they did there. That's a peaceful situation. When it says that angels are ministering spirits sent out to render service, if that's all the angels ever did for us, that'd be worth it. If you think forward to the end of your life, a lot of times that's a scary situation. A lot of times that's the thing that with a lot of fear, particularly people that are very sick. They think that their end is near, and they look at that with a lot of dread. The Bible says that for those who are faithful, those who love God, who are called according to His purpose, the angels are going to assist in that, carry us away where we need to be. That's all they ever did. That would be worth it. I know they do more, but don't ask me what they're doing. I'm just thankful they do it. I'm thankful they're active. I'm thankful that God's using them to benefit us. And so that's something to think about tonight in terms of their own life. As we said in Hebrews 1:14, that this is a great benefit that comes to those who inherit salvation. It's one of the benefits we really don't think about, a blessing we don't think about when somebody becomes a Christian. That they will have this order of beings helping them, serving them, and doing God's will in that regard. We encourage you tonight, if you're not a Christian, to become a Christian. To know the great blessings of God. God blesses your life every day, even if you're not a Christian. You should know that too. And we need to look forward to the future, the day we face the Lord, we see the Lord, the day of judgment. We be ready for that day, having been washed by the blood of Christ. We can baptize you this evening for the forgiveness of your sins. Or we can pray with you tonight. You are a Christian. You say, my faith is weak, or there's a burden on my heart, or something going on in my life, and I just need to bring that forward and express that and have people pray for me, pray with me. We can also do that. Whatever it is that you need, please come while we stand and sing.